Okay, so we've been talking about the church, and Reverend Liu was here last week for our Marks of a Healthy Church conference, and so he did touch on a lot of matters, and unfortunately I wasn't able to be here last week. I was in Charleston speaking at the Chinese church there, and I had a good time with the brothers and sisters. But we want to continue talking about the church, and I think especially as we're going through this process of elder ordination and calling and nomination, this is one of the reasons why I really wanted to touch on what it means to be a healthy church. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about a healthy church is a church in unity, a unified church, and I shared about the Argentinian Olympic basketball team that was very outmatched by the U.S. team, but still won because they were a unified squad that worked together in order to win the gold. And that's what we're called to as a church, to work together in unity and purpose and in direction and in relationship with each other in order that we may serve God and do His will. And so we'll be continuing this over the next several weeks, what it means to be a healthy church. And of course, we all kind of know what it means to have a healthy body. And as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that my body isn't quite as healthy as it used to be. And so now I'm really watching my diet and trying to eat right and exercise in spite of my bad knee and the like. So hopefully my next checkup I can be in tip-top shape. But in the same way as the church, we also want to have a healthy church. But what does it mean to have a healthy church? There's a lot of different people have a lot of different ideas of what a healthy church is. And I think in America, usually we think of a healthy church as a big church. The bigger the church that you have, the more healthy you are. And I kind of jokingly, pastors, leaders talk about like the three B's of, I don't know if it would be church health, but buildings, if you have a nice building, we have a nice building, that's check, we have a healthy church. And then what's the other one is offering, but there's a B word for it, budget. So buildings, budget, so if you have a nice, a lot of money in the bank, I guess, or a lot of money to do ministries, then you're a healthy church. And the other one is bodies. So, of course, those who are members of the church aren't just bodies, but it refers to, how many are showing up on a Sunday. And for many churches, this is the metric that means the most. And unfortunately, I think there's been pastors who've been dismissed from their positions, not because they weren't good pastors, but because they weren't able to grow a church into the thousands. I actually knew a pastor in a church in New Jersey that helped grow his church with the help of the Spirit from like 200 to 1,000, and then they plateaued at 1,000, and then the church got rid of him because they were like, we stopped growing. We need to be a growing church. We need to get to 2,000 or 3,000. And I'm like, this is just insane. Like, the biggest churches I've usually been in is like 200 or something like that. So I don't necessarily think that bigger is better, but that tends to be the idea. This is Lakewood Church. This is, if you see Joel Osteen in the background, popular author, I guess, Your Best Life Now. He has a church in Houston. It used to be the home of the Houston Rockets. So it's a basketball arena, and I think they can fit probably 20,000-25,000 for a worship service. They probably run two services, three services, so 50,000-70,000 on a Sunday. It's a big church. Is it the most healthy church? I'm not sure. I don't really think I agree with their theology, because they tend to focus on what's called health and wealth. But nonetheless, some will say that's a healthy church because it's big. Now, the other thing that's the big trend right now is what's called multi-site churches. And so you have like the big mother church, like Joel Osteen has his big mother church. But then what they do is they set up sites in different parts of the city or different parts of the country or whatever. And then they have a campus pastor, and they do have the various ministries at the same time. But usually on a Sunday, they'll just turn on a satellite feed, and then the pastor will the speaker will be the pastor on the screen or whatever. And so in this way, some churches can. I've heard of one church that was like, you know, we're a church of 100,000. Because they have like their big church of 10,000, but then they have like 50 satellite churches all around. So this is kind of the trend now. But does that mean it's a healthy church? I'm not really sure. Sometimes one of the problems with these really big churches is if there's a change of leadership. Like so for Joel Osteen's church, when Joel Osteen, if he gets sick or he retires or he leaves, when the ministry is built on an individual, which most of the mega churches are, then when that individual leaves, then things kind of collapse. And we've actually seen that happen a lot in these mega churches. But it doesn't always happen, especially if there is a good discipleship and leadership process, then, and it doesn't just rely on the pastor, then I think there is hope. And don't get me wrong, I'm not bashing the bigger churches or mega churches. I think there's room for all size churches, big and small, and God can use all of us, all different types of churches, house churches. I think variety is good. So I'm not bashing it, but in the American mindset, though, I would say generally people think bigger is better. This is a church in Orange County, Crystal Cathedral. Have any of you heard of Crystal Cathedral? It's a cathedral made of glass. I guess there's crystal in it. It's a very expensive building. It is founded. The older gentleman is Robert Schuller. He's another kind of health and wealth preacher. I mean, he does preach the gospel, but he also kind of preaches that, you know, our best life is now. God wants to bless us materially and have us have good jobs and nice houses and stuff like that. So I think it's a little bit of a deviation from the gospel that we see. But nonetheless, he grew this church, you know, under his leadership grew to be thousands upon thousands. And he had before even the internet, television show, an internet show. So they really had a lot of visitors all the time and a lot of viewers and a lot of money coming in. But then Robert Schuller resigned, or he retired. And then his son, Robert Schuller, I think they have different middle initials, but Robert Schuller and then the younger Robert Schuller took over. The interesting thing is this is a Reformed church, actually part of a Reformed church denomination, and his son is actually a really good pastor, and I've heard him speak, and he's really solid, and he actually took the church, I would say, in a much more healthy direction. He focused on those members who were actually part of the community and put in discipleship programs and really tried to take the worship from kind of performance to be like truly worshipful. But guess what happened when he did that? The attendance started to go down, the viewership on TV started to go down, and so this put kind of the church in a crisis. And so I think then the older Robert Schuller, who was still on the board, had his son fired. And that just began, you know, it kind of was a family business, but that just kind of began the controversy. And then I think Robert Schuller, the elder, came back for a little while, and then he left, and then he put his daughter in charge, and then at some point the thing just collapsed. So the Crystal Cathedral, under the Schuller's leadership, kind of dissolved several years ago. The Crystal Cathedral, though, happily is still a church. It's a Catholic church, but nonetheless, it's still a church. So, I mean, I'm glad it didn't become a mosque or a Buddhist temple or something like that, or a mall. So God is still being worshipped there. But nonetheless, I mean, to me, what was I share the story because I think actually the church was much healthier under the younger son, but because it didn't meet the metrics of his father or the budget and the buildings and the bodies and all that, he was dismissed and then things collapsed. So bigger isn't always better, and the church is more than just attendance. It's actually those of us who are part of the body of Christ and are here to encourage one another and to do the Lord's work. So we're going to talk about, over the next few weeks, I've kind of broken it out into sets of three, but 12 biblical characteristics of a healthy church. This actually comes from Southern Baptist International Mission Board, IMB, and David Platt, who I think wrote a book called Radical or Radical Something, he did a sermon on this. He did like a half an hour sermon, so it wasn't really fleshed out that much. I'm actually going to try to kind of flesh it out, but today we're going to look at the first three on the left: evangelism, discipleship, and membership. I'm going to be preaching basically a topical sermon, which is kind of unusual for me. I usually like to take one passage and just kind of focus on just, you know, those few verses or whatever. But we're going to look at different passages for each characteristic today, so it'll be a little bit more of an overview. So the first thing that the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptists believe, but I think this is a really good list, and so this is why I wanted to share it, is biblical evangelism. And I think evangelism is really important, and we see that throughout the scriptures, but we also see that in Romans 10. So let's read this together. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so this is a self-evident explanation by the Apostle Paul, or statement. You know, how can someone believe in the Lord Jesus and accept him as their Savior if they have not heard? So what the first step is, someone has to hear. But before they can hear, someone needs to speak to them and share the gospel to them and preach to them. And how can someone preach to them unless they go? And then he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so hopefully we can be a people of beautiful feet as we seek to bring the gospel to our community and to our world. There is actually one of the other characteristics is missions, so we won't really focus on the mission aspect right now, but on the necessity and hopefully the joy that we can have in sharing the gospel with others and being a presence, God's light in our community, seeking to draw others closer to him. Neil Cole is an author of several books. He's a professor and a pastor, and he wrote a book, I think, called Organic Church. And he writes, the stats tell us that 10 smaller churches of 100 people will accomplish much more than one church of 1,000. Now, there's a lot of boring charts and statistics that back this up, but basically he's stating what a lot of like church growth experts know. Smaller churches actually are generally better at leading people to Christ than bigger churches. Now, that doesn't mean that, like I said, God uses all types of churches, and some of the bigger churches are really effective, and there's some smaller churches that are really ineffective. But if you think of a church of like 10,000, if they have, you know, maybe 100 baptisms in a worship service, that would be, you know, 100, that would be a lot of people. But if a church of 100 has 10 baptisms over a year, it's actually a much higher percentage. And oftentimes smaller churches can kind of reach into their communities, into the nooks and crevices of the communities and into the networks of relationships better than the bigger churches can. So basically Neil Cole is saying that bigger isn't necessarily better, and actually smaller churches should be celebrated, because in the smaller churches we can often reach people that the bigger churches can't. Correspondingly, I think there's people in the bigger churches that smaller churches can't reach. So I think that it's all good in the kingdom of God, and we don't necessarily have to be in competition with each other. But that being said, I think oftentimes the small churches kind of feel bad because, you know, we're not accomplishing this greatness. But in a sense, maybe we are accomplishing a lot more for the kingdom of God than we may get credit for, or that a smaller church might get credit for. One of the things about our church, along with many churches, but our church in particular, and which is why we will probably never be a mega church, is turnover. So this is a picture of the College Young Adult Fellowship, I think, in 2011. And you see, I think Joseph, did he just walk out? I see Joseph is here. But I think we know many of these people. And so most of these people have moved on. Angela on the left. I don't know how to use this. Right, Angela, she's in Albuquerque, and David's in Africa. That's Pastor Wong's son. Job, we know him. He's in Atlanta. Lisa's in Atlanta. Well, Joseph's here. Okay. Jimmy, I don't know. Has there been a Jimmy sighting lately? He's in Colombia somewhere. We have to give him a call. Ruth is in Thailand. Dennis is in Philippines. And Brandon's in Kentucky. So, you know, this wasn't that long ago. And when we look at it, it's like almost everybody is gone. And I think if we even looked at a fellowship picture of 3 years ago, a lot of the people would be gone because we're just in a kind of a context where young people kind of go to school and get jobs in other parts of the country or other cities. And we have people from CIU who are studying and moving out into missions, and USC professors and visiting scholars who are moving in and out. So we really have a high turnover. But if you kind of look at our attendance records and things like that, over the years, we're pretty stable. And I was talking to I'm part of my ordination is with the Christian Missionary Alliance, so Alliance Churches. There's a district superintendent that's part of the Alliance region here, and I was talking to him about our church, and it's Pastor Mick, and he was actually saying that it's quite amazing that a church like ours has been able to maintain our attendance levels over such a period of time, because he says most churches, when they start getting a lot of turnover and a lot of people leaving, they just can't make up the difference, and then they really begin to struggle. But our church just seems to, people leave, but then new people come in, and part of it, I think, is because we have things like welcome parties. So, you know, we welcome the new youth coming up, but also new youth coming into our community for the youth welcome party, but then we have our big church welcome party coming up next week, and we get a lot of students that visit, and there's a certain percentage that get involved in the student fellowship that meets on USC campus, and then we have some of those that start coming to know Christ and get discipled, become part of our church or maybe some other churches, and so the cycle kind of continues. And so I would say actually our church does a pretty good job at outreach. I mean, we might not think so, but when we think about our baptisms every quarter or every 4 to 6 months, we'll have a baptism, and we may have 4 or 5 or 10 baptisms, and for a small church, that's actually pretty good. So I'm not necessarily patting ourselves on the back, but I think that we can celebrate the fact that in spite of the turnover, God is using us. But it's also a call that we need to be vigilant in seeking to have this attitude or mindset of seeking to reach out to others in our friends and coworkers and community. The second thing that we see that we'll talk about today is biblical discipleship, and that comes from Matthew 28, and we can read that together. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So this is probably the most commonly preached passage in our church, I would say, especially with Pastor Wong having served for many years, and now he comes back after serving in Asia and speaks regularly. Our church, I do think, has a missions orientation. But the main point of this passage, and I think we should know this by now, is actually to make disciples. It's not so much to go, but it's as you're going, make disciples. So we're not called just to make converts and just to make people, lead people to say a prayer of salvation, but we want to move those people from that initial accepting Christ as their Savior and help them to begin to follow Christ as their Lord and to be a disciple of His. And part of doing that is teaching them to obey. So there's a teaching aspect. We want to teach people the Word of God and what it means to follow Jesus, but it's not just about head knowledge, it's about obeying the words of the Lord. And I like this definition of discipleship, to turn all people into fully devoted, mature followers of Christ. And I think that's really what the church is about, even more than having a big church, that we can have a church body, not of just a lot of people who are attending or enjoying a really nice service, but that We are seeking as a church to turn people to be fully devoted followers of Christ, those who grow in maturity. Okay, my thing just went off. Can you go to the next slide? Can you go to the next slide? Hold on. Sorry, technical difficulties. Okay, and this is the, and this I think kind of goes along with what we were trying to seek as a church in terms of our vision for the church. And I spent maybe a month earlier in the year talking about our church vision, but I think it's good that we revisit this over time. The Chinese Christian Church of Columbia's vision is to be a Christ-centered community that seeks to make disciples who learn, grow, and serve in the Lord. And so, part of our vision is that we want to be a church that makes disciples. And I think for us, this is really important because as we do have a lot of turnover, I think the mindset of the church for many, many years has been this equipping mindset. We want to equip people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. So then wherever they go, into another state, into another campus, into another workplace, wherever they can be fully devoted followers of Christ, and then they can go into other churches and they can go there and not just, you know, sit in the pew, so to speak, but they can actually be committed members or committed committed people who are interact in the church fellowship and can even be leaders in those different contexts. And so we're seeking to do that in our church by making disciples who learn, grow, and serve. And I think we'll be touching on this at points during this series on healthy characteristics of a church. The last thing is biblical membership. And we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about membership, but there's no part in the Bible, I will concede, that says thou shalt be a member of a church. But there are, I would say, different categories of churches, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but let's read our verse here together, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking bread and to prayer. And so here we see that's really important is they devoted themselves. And in the early church, they didn't have membership, but what they had was these groups, these churches that were meeting mostly in people's houses. But I think this first kind of sums it up, they devoted themselves. This was something that they didn't just go to check a box, I went to church, or I'm going there because my family goes there, or because this is just something that I need to do, or I'm required to do. But they devoted themselves to things like apostles' teaching, or the apostles' teaching that we have is the Word of God, and the fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and prayer. And so the early church was really in an environment that was difficult, and they faced a lot of pressures due to persecution from the Roman Empire and local government officials like Herod and others like him, but also Judaism was attacking, and even the Apostle Paul, before he became a Christian, was Saul, and he persecuted the church. So there's a lot of persecution, and so it really caused the early church members to take their fellowship and their walk with God and their community really seriously. And I think membership is kind of one way that churches now can call people into a covenant with each other in order to really fulfill God's purpose for our church in the world. I like this. This is a definition, and I just mentioned that there's kind of two categories of churches, high commitment churches, low commitment churches. And in this particular website called Faith Autopsy, Pastor Ben is the author, and he says, research suggests high commitment churches grow much faster than low commitment churches. Quite intuitively, research also shows that high commitment churches are healthier, more involved with their community, and demonstrate a stronger commitment to missions and outreach. So in some senses, I think there's some churches that are low commitment churches. And a low commitment church would be one that, you know, maybe there's 200 people coming on a Sunday, but they have a membership of like 1,000 or 2,000. So there's a lot of members of the church, but not that many people are coming. And I think the mindset of a low commitment church is we won't put a lot of expectations on people because we just want people to come. And then the lower the bar, the more people will come, and then we can minister to them and try to help them to become more committed. On the other hand, there's high commitment churches, and high commitment churches don't really want people to just come. They want people to come who are committed to coming, or at least help people to be on this path of becoming more commitment. And so it's a church that seeks for people to be not only regular attenders of church, but to be involved in fellowships and small groups and in community with one another, and to serve in various ways. And in our church vision, it would be those who learn, grow, and to serve. And so I would say that our church seeks to be a high commitment church, but research does show that those churches who actually call their people to a higher level of commitment are actually the churches that grow the fastest and are the most healthy. And so I think we see that in our verse. The early church devoted themselves to these things like the Word of God, the apostles' teaching, and to the breaking of bread and fellowship. And as we seek to implement these things into our community, hopefully I think ours is a high commitment church, that we want to call everyone to be this part of a healthy community that seeks to learn, grow, and serve, and to seeks to make disciples that are fully devoted followers of Jesus. And also, corresponding to this, we see in Jesus, I believe it's 59 instances where Jesus gives one another statements. And of like something like love one another would be one of them, but there's a whole bunch of them. Submit to one another, forgive one another, spur one another on to love and good deeds. That would be in Hebrews. Encourage. So there's like 59 of these in the New Testament, maybe not just from Jesus, but in the New Testament. And I think that's what it's really about in terms of having a healthy church community, which goes even beyond the issue of what a church's stance is on membership. But we want to have a healthy church community that is loving one another and caring for one another and upholding one another. And as we do that, I think that we can really make a difference in our community and in the world. And so our lessons for disciples. I like this quote. I want to kind of close with this and another quote. God is not calling us to go to church. He is calling us to be his church, the hope of the world. And I think that's a good statement. We don't want to just be those who come and then that's kind of it. We enjoy a good sermon or we enjoy good music, but we want to move beyond that, and we want to be the church. We want to be the hope of the world. And I think that we do that by building community. When we're a healthy church community and we love one another and we're devoted to the things that God wants us to be devoted to learn, to grow, and serve in him, I think that that healthy community can be one then hopefully that seeks to reach the lost, not under compulsion, but joyfully, and seeks to move people from that initial commitment to be disciples of him. And hopefully we can also be those disciples as well. And so my encouragement for each of us this week is to indeed seek to be a disciple of Jesus, not a lone ranger, but to seek to encourage one another in our following of Jesus. And then hopefully we can also make a difference in our community. And with the welcome party coming up and with new students coming in, I think this can be a really great opportunity to welcome those and to make those new in our midst feel hopefully comfortable and have a desire to continue to be part of our body. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your word. And Father, we do a desire for our church to be a healthy church, one that seeks to reach the lost and to make disciples and to love one another and care for one another, Lord. And may indeed we be that, be a light, a beacon in a dark world, Lord, that seeks to lead others to you. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.